and the marvelous clouds sail by, marvelous clouds.
I don't know if we'll see marvelous puffy clouds, but clouds seem to be with us. I'm Keith Seinfeld with Cliff Mass of the University of Washington. And Cliff, how goes the battle of clouds versus sunshine?
Well, unfortunately, today clouds win. We've had an extraordinarily sunny period, high pressure, temperatures getting way above normal, up in the upper 70s, even around 80 in a lot of places, but not today. A weak Pacific front is moving over the Northwest right now, and most of the region from eastern Washington over to the coast are in cloud, and there's even some rain along the coast and in northwest Washington, and there could be a few sprinkles in Puget Sound and good chance of having a few sprinkles up in the mountains. So today is going to be the worst day of the upcoming 3 or 4 days. Then tomorrow, as the system goes by, there'll be a lot of residual low clouds. Not a lot of rain, but low clouds that'll be in there tomorrow morning, and we'll see probably by around lunchtime, those clouds burning off and thinning. So I expect sun on Saturday, but later in the afternoon, temperatures getting up to probably, you know, in the low 70s and for many people.
So it sounds like we're getting into that pattern where you have clouds and then it burns off, right?
That's right. You know, this is the typical June gloom pattern where we have high pressure offshore, lots of low clouds that push in. We have low clouds in the morning, but the sun is so powerful this time of the year that it's able to get to the surface, warm it up enough, and burn the clouds as we get into the late morning and around lunchtime.
So is that going to continue into Sunday and Monday?
It'll continue into Sunday. In fact, I think Sunday could be even slightly better, perhaps, but at the same type of pattern, and temperatures getting up around 70, lower 70s, so very typical. Unfortunately, the situation is going to decline as we get into really late Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. An upper trough is pushing down from the Gulf of Alaska, and it's going to park over us for several days. So we can expect through, you know, the early to middle of next week, clouds and probably a few light rain showers, but nothing serious at all.
Just in time for all the graduations, right?
Well, hopefully some of the graduations will be later, especially at the University of Washington.
In the weather news lately, it seems like it's been tornadoes, at least coming from the rest of the country. Lots of tornado news. And watching some of these stories unfold, it seems like it must be a real challenge to know where these tornadoes will land, where and when.
Well, actually, this has been a phenomenal success story. If you think about the major outbreaks we've seen during the last few weeks, like Moore, Oklahoma, they've gotten substantial warning. Moore, Oklahoma had 35 minutes warning. So the tornado warning was out 35 minutes before it actually hit. Oklahoma City had pretty good warning as well. In fact, if you look at the history of warnings, if you go back as not that far back to the mid-80s, the average warning time was 5 minutes. Today, it's about 15 minutes. And it is increasing progressively. So we have come a huge distance in giving people enough warning to take cover and get out of the way. The big reason for this is the huge Doppler radar network, the sophisticated network the National Weather Service has put in. They started putting that in the late 80s, and it was finished in the 90s, and it was recently upgraded. Now, these Doppler radars can view almost the entire country in it. Really good coverage in the Midwest. And they not only can see where the precipitation is, they can see where the rotation is in some of these large supercell thunderstorms.
When you say rotation, they can actually see the rain spinning around on the radar?
That's right. So major thunderstorms, the supercells that tend to cause tornadoes, they have something called a mesocyclone. There's rotation inside the thunderstorm. And that rotation is about 3 or 8 miles wide. Anyway, the radar can see that. And what we have learned is that we normally see this rotation before the tornado forms. So this gives us a tool to note where the potential for tornadic storms will occur. And, you know, you can see these patterns moving, you know, spatially. So you can follow it along. And so that allows you to give some warning. Even better, the radars were updated just this year to have something called dual polarization. That's a big term, but what it means is they can actually see the types of particles, their shapes, their characteristics that are being moved around. And so when a tornado hits a home or a farm, it sends debris up into the air, and we can actually see the signature on that on these Weather Service radars. So we not only know where the parent rotation is, we can even see where there's debris coming up from the tornado using these radars. It's a tremendous tool.
Do we have the tools that if a tornado were to form around here, we could get a warning here too?
We could. I mean, we have good radar coverage of these sophisticated radars here, but we don't get a lot of tornadoes here in the Northwest, and that's for the simple reason we don't get big thunderstorms. And why don't we get big thunderstorms? Well, that's because we have this cool Pacific Ocean. But we have, on occasion, had tornadoes. Normally, they're the very weak EF0 types that really don't do much damage. But we have had EF3s on a few occasions, including a famous case in 1972 in Vancouver, Washington, which caused substantial damage and some loss of life.
Wow. Thanks, Cliff.
Sure.
Cliff Mass studies atmospheric sciences at the University of Washington. You can hear him talk about tornadoes in the Northwest in an extended version of our conversation at kplu.org. I'm Keith Seinfeld, KPLU News.